Lord, open thou my heart to hear, and through thy word to me draw near. Amen. I'm going to start with a passage you heard before it from Ephesians chapter 4. The goal is that we would no longer be tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of doctrine or teaching. That's picture language, of course, for people that knew about voyaging on sailing ships on their voyage of life, sailing through the storms of life. Storms through which the Lord Jesus can bring us to safe haven. As the author of Psalm 107 asserts, they saw the deeds of the Lord and his wonders on the deep. They were glad when it grew quiet, and he guided them to the port they desired. Now, that's picture language, as I said, for our voyage through life, through storms, to safe haven. Our voyage of life need not be upsetting, for we have God's blessed ballast, part two, to stabilize us en route to the port that we desire, the safe haven of heaven. Now, if you haven't seen a ballast rock before, I brought it along again. I think it was off camera last time I was here. It's not an attractive piece of equipment. It's not like the pearl of great price. It's not like the treasure hidden in the field. It's just a plain old 5-pound rock. What good is it? 5-pounders of rock like that were picked up by sailors and passed down the ladders of their ship level by level down to the very bottom keel of their sailing ship. What good was it? It stabilized the ship so it didn't get tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind. The rock down in the bottom was counterweight for all of the rigging and the sails way up above. So it stabilized the vessel en route to reach safe port. Now, let's deposit some of that God's blessed ballast into the deepest hold of our hearts and lives so that it provides us stability as we sail from here to safe haven. I'm going to start with Genesis 1 again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and empty. Without form seems to say that God had not yet given gravity the go-ahead to get things settled and sifted, because settling and sifting would create some form of layers. We would call them strata. So the planet needed a lot of organizing in order to get it in shape for humanity. Darkness covered the surface of the deep, which God addressed not by eradicating darkness, but by regulating it. So God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. So when God wants something done, he has but to say the word, and it takes place. Here, that light should put darkness back into its corner, surrendering to light. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, there was morning, the first day. That's quote. Now, since days alternate with nights in our planet, because it rotates on its axis 24 hours to make one revolution. So it seems to me that God got the planet rotating in its circadian rhythm on day one of his creative activities. And it's still rotating, reliable as ever, day in and day out, because God wants it that way. So even in today's goofy climate, culture, most creatures depend on this regular, dependable rotation of day and night. The dependable regularity that leaves many of us needing more sleep, which will happen, you get an extra hour on November 2nd, when daylight saving comes to an end. Now, let's shift to God's word about the more important light of the world and God's exposition in God in John's Gospel, chapter 1. Quote, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness," that's the spiritual darkness of sin and death and unbelief, "and the darkness has not overcome it." I'm still quoting. "The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world." And that's Jesus, of course, the light of the world. And this short exposition of his career and the gifts he brought to this sorry planet and this pandemic world tells us that God so loved humans that he could not surrender us to the darkness of sin and Satan as deep as death, but instead took upon himself, in the person of his dear beloved son Jesus, decided to bring us into the light of his own presence and his family circle. Now, that's a long sentence, abbreviated as you see fit, which John did in his booklet, chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world," that's humanity, "that he gave free and clear his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, trusts, relies, depends on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's record book is permeated with this analogy of light versus darkness, where darkness equates with spiritual devolution, not evolution, devolution in its variance from egocentricity that worships self to the 1,000 addictions that enslave people to the dark side. People have always understood that darkness was dangerous. And if you ventured out of your sanctuary after dark, after sunset, you could expect to be assaulted by the bad guys patrolling their turf. Now, this whole scenario holds true for spiritual situations too. So, from the hundreds of Bible quotes that I could bring to your attention about darkness and light, I have a dozen to download as God's blessed ballast for your heart and life to stabilize you on your voyage to safe haven. Quote, "When I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be a light for me." Micah 7. "Yes, you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness to light." 2 Samuel 22. "The rising sun from on high will visit us to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death." Luke 1. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." Isaiah 9. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you." Isaiah 60. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8. The light will be with you just a little while longer. Keep on walking while you have the light, so that darkness does not overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. John 12. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but still walk in darkness, we are lying. But if we walk in the light, just as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1. For the God who said, light will shine out of darkness, creation, day one, is the same one who makes light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4. The night is almost over and the day is drawing near. So let us put away the deeds of darkness and put on the weapons of light. Romans 13. You do well to pay attention to God's word as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. 2 Peter 1. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine in people's presence so that they may see your godly works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5. God grant it. Amen. Our hymn choice is number 508. Stanzas 1 and 3.